There
Wait,
it
so what is
is.
our topic today?
What's up?
What is our topic today?
We're talking about the chashivas of learning Torah for women.
Wow, this is spot on. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I figured for several reasons, I thought this would be a good topic. First of all, because I called you Amaratzim 2 weeks ago, so I figured I should follow up on that. Second of all, because there is Vort Lach to the Parsha, and obviously, third of all, because it's Shavuot is coming up, and I figured it would be worth a mention. Okay, now again, obviously, this is going to be a different shmooze for girls coming, if as opposed to a shmooze that's going to be for boys, because you guys don't have a mitzvah technically of Talmud Torah, and a lot of the shmoozin that usually are given. Are geared towards boys and Yeshiva Bachrim and Amelus and Limud Torah, etc. So we're going to frame it slightly differently. And especially for you guys who just left Sem and are shifting into a new station, I guess, in life, new status, new situation. Okay. They translate Limud Torah into English, even though I hate translations. But this one is actually helpful. This is, I think, the first time in my life I've ever said that. But this one is actually helpful. They translate Limud HaTorah as Torah study. And that is very important when thinking about studying Torah, girls also. But when you leave Sem, and now in your life, when you guys are back in America now. So when we say Limud HaTorah, when we say Torah study, when we say you're going to learn Torah, okay, we are no longer talking about listening to Rav Gav, thinking he's so dreamy, and continuing on your day. Okay, you need to actually study Torah. Okay, you need to actually know Torah law. Okay, you know how you like study for tests, right? Like you know how like you need to know the material if you're gonna pass a test in college or whatever, right? You need to know the material if you're gonna know what you're talking about in a job interview. Well, you need to know the material to be able to have a Jewish life. Okay, if you want to have a kosher home, you need to know the material. You need to know the material if you want to keep Shabbos, right? One of the most impressive things that I've seen in the last month is when my wife made a comment. I was giving you Daf Yomi Shir, and you know how like my wife always talks about Shnai Mikra, Shnai Mikra, Shnai Mikra. So it sounds cute and it sounds nice, sounds like a catchphrase. But I was giving you Shir and Daf Yomi, and we're talking about a Korban Olah V'Yoreid. Okay, forget about what that is. All right, it's a Korban. All right. And she just like, after I was done, or while I was in the middle, she's like, oh, that was last week's Parsha. And I'm like, what the heck? Why do you know anything about Korbanos? Like, what that, where does that even, like, what? And she's like, oh, yeah, I was doing Shnai Mikra and that was the Parsha 2 weeks ago. I'm like, that's Torah study. Okay. That's Limud HaTorah. Okay. Now, again, like I said, there's a basic value of Limud HaTorah that needs to be emphasized. And even though you guys don't have a specific mitzvah of Talmud Torah, this really manifests in two ways. One of them is not going to be so relevant for us. We're not going to really talk about it today because you guys are not there yet. You will get there, you should be aware of. But first of all, when it comes to your husband and your sons, and your daughters also, but specifically your family, right? A family where the mother is Machshev Torah is and makes sacrifices for Torah, both personal, professional, emotional, monetary, whatever, is completely different than a home where the mother is either indifferent or not encouraging. Right. Now, obviously, you're not going to discourage Torah learning, right? You guys shouldn't bet, etc. Right, but a home where learning is held on a pedestal, right, and is talked about as like an ideal, as opposed to homes that just talk about, I don't know, whatever, jobs or cars or whatever or movies or something. So that home is going to be completely different, right? The marriage is going to be completely different when the wife is machshiv her husband's Torah learning, right? When she delights in his Torah accomplishments, when she gives him her full attention when he's saying a Dvar Torah at the table, right? Again, these are things we can talk about as life moves along, but that's A. The second, and much more relevant for you guys, and this is what we'll talk about mostly today, is the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. We're doing Pirkei Avos in the summer. Right? Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, says, Ein Am HaAretz Chassid. An Am HaAretz can't be a Chassid, right? Simple without any Perushim, is that if you're an Am HaAretz and you don't know Torah, you don't know what to do, right, so then you can't be a chassid. You can't be ostensibly a tzaddik because you don't know what to do. Right? It means studying Torah, studying laws and concepts that are relevant to you. And this requires real effort, especially now that you're not in classes anymore. So this requires reinforcing. Again, there are bajillion sources that refer to this and reinforce this idea. We're going to mention what we can. I don't even know how long I'm going to go because I have a bunch of notes over here. But we'll mention things. I'd imagine you've heard many of them before. But again, like we say at the beginning of Mesillas Yesharim, right? Even the simple things require chizuk. And so we'll repeat. I'm sure it'll be a repetition for some things, and then we'll try and re-emphasize these inyanim. First of all, let's stick with our parsha. Parsha Bechukosai, right, is famous for containing the first of the two tochachas. The tochacha being the catastrophic, musar and curses found in, the Torah. The other one is in Parshas Kizetze. Underratedly, right, the beginning of the parsha actually starts with brachos, right, with blessings. It's not only curses, it's blessings and curses. And the Torah very deliberately, right, uses very similar lashon by both the blessings and the curses, and they say that basically they illustrate that the Torah illustrates that it's basically two sides of the same coin, right? If you do mitzvos, then you got brachos, and if you don't, then chas v'shalom, bad things, right, will ensue. Right, the first pasuk of Parshas Bechukosai, just to be clear, it's a double parsha, right? It's Bahar Bechukosai. So the first pasuk of the Parshas Bechukosai says in Bechukosai teilechu. Right, if you keep my chukim, ves mitzvosai tishmori, you keep my mitzvos, vasisemosam, and you'll do them. And then it says all these brachos, etc., etc. And later, right, it says im lo sishmu, if you don't listen, right, velo sasu is called mitzvos, and you don't do them, etc., etc. And then there is, right, all the tochacha. Now, Rashi already points out, I'm not sure if it's the first Rashi in the Parsha or one of them, one of the first few Rashis in the Parsha, that it's curious that the Torah uses many words, several words, to describe if you keep the Torah. Right, the pasuk says, if you keep my chukim, right, in b'chukosai telechu, if you keep my decrees, ves mitzvosai tishmoru, and you keep my mitzvos, vasisemosam, and you do them. Like, we get the point. Like, you don't need to say it five times. Right, so the tourist, again, as Rashi already picks up, right, you get the idea, right, that there's much more to this than just just eating kosher. And Rashi explains that in b'chukosai telechu does not mean if you keep my mitzvos, because it says right afterwards, es mitzvosai dishmaru, if you keep my mitzvos. So what does in b'chukosai telechu mean? So it means shetiyu amelim batorah, that you need to be amelim, not just learn, not lom de Torah, but amelim batorah, putting in effort, as they translate, I don't know if it's bad, but they translate toiling in Torah, right? They putting in effort in Limud Torah. And in the reverse, when the Torah says the opposite, in Lo Sishmu Li, if you don't listen, Rashi once again says, if you don't, Lios HaMeilim BaTorah, if you don't toil in Torah, if you don't put in real effort in studying Torah, so then it lists all the curses. When you read those two Rashis back to back, so a kind of terrifying possibility comes out. It seems like according to Rashi's understanding, that one of the things that brings the Tochacha, right, or the brachos, right, again, two sides of the same coin, right, seems like one of the things it's dependent upon is whether or not Bnei Israel toil in Torah, amelus batorah, whether they put in real serious effort in studying Torah, which is a staggering possibility because, like, again, toiling Torah means that, you put in serious hours. It's not like, dude goes to work 9 to 5, learns a little bit before Mincha Maariv, goes to Rabbi Shir on Shabbos. That's not toiling in Torah. He's a great Jew and we love him, and that's, good, but that's not a melus, right? You're telling me that guy is causing the tochacha? Like, that's intense. Like, the Torah doesn't say if there's murder everywhere or mass theft or everyone's bowing down to idols. You're telling me that amelus batorah, putting in real effort in studying Torah, is what's going to determine whether we get brachos or klalos? That sounds, I don't know, it sounds nuts, but that sounds intense. That's the implication that you get if you read those Rashis back to back. Now, maybe the terrifying answer is yes, that, we pull all-nighters for studying for midterms and finals, and we work, extra time to finish work projects. So why shouldn't we study Torah with the same commitment? Okay, maybe. I'm a little bit more of an optimist. Or I don't know if it's optimism. I'm not sure. I would prefer to take a less frightening approach. And I would just point out that it's in Lamdisha language, it seems to me like it's not a siba, it's not a reason for the tochacha, but it's a siman. It's a sign of something else. It's an indicator of something else. What does that mean? So to illustrate, when I was in college, I remember a specific semester where I had two 10-page papers the same time from two different professors, two different classes, due at the exact same time. For one paper, right? I worked my tail off. I ended up with like 13 pages, right? And like five extra sources, and probably edited it like three or four times before I handed it in. For the other paper, I put in absolute minimum effort, ended up with 9 pages, including the cover and the bibliography, quoted the minimum number of sources, and didn't give the first draft a second glance right before I sent it in. So what was the difference between the first paper and the second paper? Right? Why did I put in so much effort in the first paper and not the second? Right? And the answer was very simple. In the first paper, I cared about the class, I cared about the teacher, right? And I cared about the subject. Right? So I put in maximum effort. For the second paper, I couldn't care less. I hated the teacher, I hated the subject, and I just whatever, I'm just getting out of here. Just give me a, a passing grade or whatever. And maybe that's the answer, perhaps, to those two Rashis, that when a person doesn't put in the effort, right, to learn Torah, they study, they learn haphazardly, they check boxes, they put in minimal effort, right? So that in and of itself may not cause a tochacha necessarily. It's indicative of a greater problem, right? It's indicative of an issue that does cause the tochacha, and because effort in any realm, right, is an indicator of significance, right? It shows your commitment, your appreciation, how much you value the subject or the person or the concept or whatever, right? When you toil in Torah, it demonstrates a commitment to its values. Right, demonstrate a commitment to its author, right? It's capital A, right? It shows how much you care about Judaism in general. If you treat Torah study like some other obligation that you have to just check a box, so that shows that you don't care. Full stop. Right? It shows that you don't care. You don't care about halacha enough to know the details. You don't care to work hard to understand, the Derech Hashem, to understand his expectations, understand the Torah that he's gifted us. That causes the tochacha, right? When just to be poetic about it, right? When God is a burden and apathy rules the day, so then that's when the trouble starts, right? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes the envelope and causes us to try and find them, et cetera, et cetera. So the Musar, again, just to start, and then we'll talk about other aspects of how important Torah study is Torah really the most important thing in your life, right? Is Judaism truly the most important thing in your life? If you're not sure, it might be, but if you're not sure, the precedence and the chashivos and the time you dedicate to Torah study is a good barometer to measure whether it is or not. Again, it's not a limud Torah shmooze for boys, right? That's a different thing. It's a what do I put front and center in my life type of shmooze. You can't keep Shabbos if you don't know Hilchos Shabbos, right? You can't keep a kosher kitchen, right, if you don't know the halachos, right? If you don't know the halachos of Taharas Mishpacha, you can't keep Taharas Mishpacha. Again, these are not halachos you can just look up. Right? It's not casual reading. You can recap in a magazine or listen to like a Rabbi Wallerstein shiur, who happens to be amazing. But you need to know the basics, and you need to study the basics in order to know them. Okay? Again, whatever you learned in Sem is great. You guys are now moving on. Right? You did step A, that was Shana Aleph. You did step B, that was Shana Bet. Now you're in step C. Right? Step C is you're going to start getting ready to build a Jewish home and live the rest of your life on this path that you have chosen. And just because you're done with Sem doesn't mean it gets easier. I'm not sure if it gets harder, right? But the challenge shifts, right? Instead of inspiration and growth, right, you're looking at serious Torah study, right, to know what you have to do instead of just hearing something fluffy about like the neshama and reincarnation and whatever. Okay, like that doesn't, you need to know. Again, Shabbos is in 3 days, right? Shabbos, are you positive you're going to be completely Shomer Shabbos? I don't know if I'm going to positively be Shomer Shabbos. And again, I'm not trying to belittle people who did well Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, and are keeping Shabbos, quote unquote. But what I'm saying is that you need to learn the halachos of Shabbos to know if you're 100% being Shomer Shabbos or not. Right? Obviously, you can't know all the halachos in 3 days, okay? But you can't be a nurse or a doctor in 3 days either. Right, you have to have to make a plan. Right, start checking off boxes. Torah study can't take a back seat to whatever discipline you're studying. Right, full stop. Right, I'm not saying at this point in your life if you have to study the same amount of hours. Let's say you're studying medicine. I'm not saying you have to study medicine 6 hours a day and Torah 6 hours a day because you're at a different point in your life. But you definitely should give it some sort of priority. And to start accomplishing and start moving through the different disciplines in Hilchos and in Torah, right, to start understanding and knowing what to do. Okay, that is one aspect. Another aspect, a little fluffier, but also just as important. And again, we've mentioned this. I'll just mention it quickly. Some of these things I'm just going to run through really quick because you for sure heard this. Other things I'm just going to maybe I'll harp on, like the last one. The Torah, the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Lamed is the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. If you're struggling, again, the Gemara there goes through a whole list of how bad the Yetzirah is, right? Hashem calls it evil. It intensifies against us every single day, seeks to defeat us, etc. Gemara ends off, as you're familiar, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Kosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzirah, and he created the Torah as an antidote. If you're trying, if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time with your Yetzirah, the simplest answer is Shnayim Mikra, Hilchos Shabbos, a Moser Sefer. That's the answer, right? That may be boring. That may not be exciting. You may not want to put the effort in. You may want to take a shortcut, but that's it, right? If you're struggling with your Yetzirah, if you're, if you find yourself, having a rough week or a rough month, so just learn a little bit more. It is that straightforward. It doesn't really matter what it is. Whatever halachos speak to you, right? That's Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Tes, I think, right? Learn what you like from someone you like. Right? That's pretty, that's the shortcut you're really truly looking for. Okay, another reason why we have to study Torah. This will, again, we've mentioned, but we'll mention a little bit longer than that, is that the Torah is the prism with which we view the world, right? If we don't study Torah, so our worldview is warped by certain ideologies that we do consume, right? Again, we've discussed this before, right? Again, but actions in this world are neither positive nor negative. They are simply neutral, and the context, right, in which you do these actions determines whether they're positive or negative. Again, we've used these examples, but just to speak it out in case you don't remember. Murder, obviously terrible, right? But if someone's trying to kill you, right, then obviously you can kill them. How do you know that? Now, it is logic, but maybe that's not correct. Maybe murder is one of the big three, and you should have to take a bullet instead of killing someone who's coming to kill you. So the Torah tells us, the Torah says that if someone, that's the phrase in the Gemara, whatever the pasuk is, I don't remember off the top of my head, but if someone's coming to kill you, right, so then you should kill them, right? So that determination is made based on the Torah, right? In certain scenarios, you're going to be faced with, who do you give tzedakah to? Right? You have two people who need tzedakah, and one of them is a relative and one of them isn't. So how do you know what's better? Right? So the Torah says you give the tzedakah to the relative. Okay, bottom line, there are a million examples, right? The barometer of good and evil, right, of what we should do in a given situation, that is the Torah. The Torah is what we judge our actions and our lives by, right? That's the measuring stick. And if that's true, so then we need to study Torah. Then we need to know. We can't just always, WhatsApp me at 2 in the morning. And I don't always have, my phone next to me, although sometimes it is. But you can't always just ask a rabbi. You need to know Torah. You'd have to have to for Torah to influence your worldview in the proper way, you need to study it. You need to know it. You need to be familiar with it, right? We don't base our political views based on, I don't know, which political commentary, or if you're into, Ben Shapiro or or whatever, some, I don't know, whatever, TikTok influencer or something, some book you ordered on Amazon, right? The Torah is the lens that we view society, right? If it just society dress and says it's cute to dress like a Zona, right? Or say some sort of Lashon Hara about a coworker if they make a mistake, or not to give tzedakah, we don't obviously that's not valuable to us. Why not? Because the Torah says, right, what our values are, right? The Torah is what we use, right, to figure out our worldview, right? The Chovas HaLevavos writes in Shaar Avodas Elokim, in Perek Daled, right? There is nothing in this world that is neutral, right? Actions are either positive or negative, as we said before. Things that are technically not mitzvos, right? Eating and drinking are either preparations for mitzvos or preparations for averos. And the way we view all the things that we do in our lives has to be viewed based on what the Torah says about them, right? If you're eating, right, in order to give yourself koach to go do mitzvah, so then that's great. If you're eating in a non-kosher setting and you're just doing whatever, so then that's not as great, right? All the examples you can think of, right? The Torah determines whether that's good or bad. To know what the Torah says, yeah.
I was just wondering if you could repeat the line. Like you said a quote before you went into giving the example of like eating or drinking. Like you said, like,
Chovas
yeah, what the chovos? Can you say what it says again so
Yeah,
I can write it down? Thanks.
sure. He says there's nothing in this world that is neutral, and all actions are either positive or negative, right? Again, if things are technically not mitzvos, right? Let's say eating and drinking or whatever, right? So we either do them to help us prepare for mitzvos or averos, right? And that will determine whether they're positive or negative. When we do physical things in a holy way, right? So that uplifts those physical things. If you're doing physical things in an unholy way, right? So then obviously those physical things are negative, right? But to know what the Torah says, right? You can't just listen to Morty Schapp and call it a day, right? God bless him. But you need to study Torah. And that will tell you then, how to live your life and what to do in certain situations. Obviously, you can ask a Shaila, but for you to know, that requires Torah study. Okay, furthermore, Torah on a metaphysical level is Kiim Chayinu Varachyamenu. Torah is our life source, right? Torah keeps the Jewish people going. We'll just give, again, a lot of Gemaras that say this, but we'll just give one that's related to Shavuos. And again, I've said this to you guys before, and I apologize again if it's Chazara. But the Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Pechas, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kafaleim har gigiyos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted up Har Sinai, held it upside down over Bnei Yisrael's head like a barrel, and said, "If you accept the Torah, great. And if you don't, Shamte kfuraschem, right? I'm going to bury you." And so people ask, right? I don't understand. First of all, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to take the mountain and overturn it like a barrel? The Gemara is very strange phraseology. The Gemara should have said, Hashem picked the mountain and had the mountain over their heads to threaten them. What do you need a barrel? Why do you need to turn it upside down? Right? And second of all, why does the Gemara say, Shamte kfuraschem? There will be your burial ground. I should say, Potate kfuraschem. Here will be your burial ground. So I'm rushing through the Dvar Torah because I think I've said it and I don't want to bore you. But basically, one of the Soloveitchiks, or Moshe Soloveitchik, I think, I don't remember, I think so, says, and I heard from Rav J.J. Schachter when I was in YU, that the Torah, it was trying to explain that the Gemara there is trying to explain that Hashem told Bnei Yisrael it wasn't a threat that if you don't accept the Torah, right, I will drop this mountain on your head. But what Hashem was trying to explain to Bnei Yisrael was that the Torah is Am Yisrael's life source. And therefore, if you don't accept it, right, you're just going to end up going like the nations of the world, right? What's the upside down barrel? So if you've ever been in a sukkah and you have a bee, not on Yom Tov, right, but on Chol HaMoed, a bee is flying around. So if you trap a bee in the cup, what do you do if, what happens to the bee if you leave it in the cup? So eventually, it'll run out of air and it'll die. So that's what Hashem was trying to tell Bnei Yisrael, that if you don't accept the Torah, so, okay, but, you're going to just end up running out of gas. You're just going to end up running out of air because the Torah is what keeps us going. Torah is what keeps us alive throughout the generations. The Gemara that continues that Bnei Yisrael then later, right afterwards, Kimu v'Kiblu, right, they re-accepted the Torah at the times of Mordechai and Esther and Achashverosh and Purim. And just in light of this, that understanding, so that was the first time Bnei Yisrael were faced with extinction, right? Because Haman, right, threatened to destroy them. That was the first time after they'd gotten to Eretz Yisrael, they'd been exiled. What did they do? They davened, they fasted, and they saw that they had a spiritual response, right? They did tshuva, and they realized that Torah is actually what is going to keep them going. And so that's the Gemara highlights. But basically, that's the idea, that the Torah is Kim Chayinu V'Rechemenu, right? That keeps us going throughout the generations. And it's not just, just to listen, all the other things, having good midos and doing chesed is dressing tznius is all crucial, but to study Torah, that's what keeps us going. The Gemara says, I guess we'll go to a different word. Actually, another thing that we get b'zchus our Torah learning is Eretz Yisrael. Right? There's a fascinating Orach Chaim on this week's Parsha. Parsha's Bahar, right? At the beginning of Parsha's Bahar, the first topic in the Parsha is Shemitah, right? And the Torah says, "Vayeder Hashem al Moshe b'Har Sinai le'mor," that Hashem told Moshe on Har Sinai, and then it explains the laws of Shemitah. And again, famous Rashi says, "What in the world is Shemitah and Har Sinai doing next to each other? Why does the Torah mention that Hashem spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai, and then lists the laws of Shemitah, like everything was said to Moshe on Har Sinai?" Like, why does it specifically say here by Shemitah that Hashem spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai, right? The whole Torah we got on Sinai. So Rashi says that, again, it's been quoted, I'm sure, in Parsha Shmuzes if you listened, is that just like all the details on Har Sinai were given to Moshe by all the halachos, right? So too, we'll give, sorry, just like all the details were given to Moshe, right, by of Shemitah at Har Sinai, so too, all the details of all the other mitzvos were given at Har Sinai. It's just reinforcing the fact that Moshe got the entire Torah on Har Sinai, not just read a couple of details. Okay, the Orach Chaim says a fascinating parenthetical. The Orach Chaim writes, He says, seeing as though Shemitah is the classic mitzvah that embodies Eretz Yisrael, right? Obviously, there are other ones, right? There's mitzvahs, tefillos, ba'aretz, there's truma, maaser, whatever. But Shemitah is like the classic paradigm, right? Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah, right? You have to let the land rest once every 7 years. Anyway, so since that's true, the Torah wrote that the details of the entire Torah were given at Har Sinai and then listed the halachos of Shemitah to show, excuse me, to show that we are only zocheh to get Eretz Yisrael if we keep all the details of all the mitzvahs, which is a wild Or HaChaim. Not wild. I feel like it's wild because people don't talk about that so much. I feel like people talk about other reasons why we're zocheh to learn to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? A lot of people have different opinions as to what keeps us here and why we've returned, etc. The Or HaChaim says that the only reason we're zocheh to Eretz Yisrael is because of the Torah, not because like we're indigenous or whatever. I don't know. People argue, whatever. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to us as a gift, and he gave it to that gift on one condition, that we keep all the details, right, of the Torah. The Torah, furthermore, the Torah protects us, keep us safe. You guys are familiar with the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed. Maybe you don't recognize that Mari Makom, but you know the story that David HaMelech, right, was told that he was going to die on Shabbos, and so therefore every Shabbos he would just sit and learn Torah all day to protect himself from the angel of death, Malach HaMoves. And the day the Malach HaMoves was supposed to come and get him, right, David was learning Torah. By the way, his yahrzeit is on Shavuos, which is why we're mentioning this. Yeah. So on a day he was supposed to learn, right? David was learning. David HaMelech was, he couldn't, and Malach HaMoves couldn't take him. So Malach HaMoves went and broke a tree, right? David looked up for a second. Okay, right. Then, and that Malach HaMoves was able to get him. But again, with again, many, many sources, the Torah learning protects a person. Again, I don't want to beleaguer the point, but Torah learning gives us a protection. The Torah learning not only gives us personal protection, but it helps us win wars. Right, the Pasuk Gemara says in Makos on Daf Yud, the Pasuk says, "Om dos hayu rekleinu b'sharayach Yerushalayim." Right, that again, that Pasuk is printed at Givat HaTachmoshet and on the entrance on the drive up to Yerushalayim. Literally means, "Om dos hayu rekleinu," our legs were standing b'sharayach Yerushalayim, in the gates of Yerushalayim. Gemara darshins out what causes "Om dos hayu rekleinu," what causes our legs to be standing in battle. Gemara darshins out b'sharayach Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim, the people who are studying Torah, right, in the gates of Yerushalayim. I guess the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Perek HaChelek, and Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Daled, that Sanherev, right, the king of Assyria, who was successful in exiling all the 10 tribes, right, he conquered much of Eretz Yisrael, but he failed to conquer Yerushalayim. Right, Hashem did a tremendous miracle, right, wiped out his entire army, right, stories in Melachim Beis. So Gemara wonders why were the people of Yerushalayim zocha to this miracle, right? Why was what's it called? Why was Chizkiyahu HaMelech, right, zocha to this miracle? And again, Sancheriv destroyed the rest of Eretz Yisrael. He exiled all of them. So the Gemara says it wasn't because of the topography, it wasn't because of the soldiers, it wasn't because of the weather. So the Gemara says, Ein nimsar am ayef batora, biyad mi hamaziklo. That a nation that is ayef batora, a nation that is tired and wearied and exhausted by Torah study, will not be given over to the hand of the enemy that oppresses them. Right? It doesn't say a nation that, keeps kosher. It doesn't even say a nation that reads the Torah. It says a nation that is ayef, that is tired of Torah, right? That is exhausted through Torah study. Syria, again, another marker, that's serious Torah study, not just kind of, brute listening to a nice shmooze. That's good. But serious, actual Torah study, right, is what saves Am Yisrael. Again, later on the same page, again, Gemara just reiterates. It says, "Chuval ol shel Sancheriv," right? The yoke of Sancheriv was destroyed. "Mepnei shmano shel Chizkiyahu," because of the oil of Chizkiyahu. "Shahaya dolik b'batei knesses b'batei midrashas," that it was lit in the shuls and the base medrashas. Right, the Torah study and the diligence of Am Yisrael during that time, right, earned them the miracle that Hashem performed them. Again, and just very simply, we also say it, if you, I don't know, you guys probably don't say it, but the guys say it at the end of davening, right, in Ein Kilokeinu, right, every single day in Eretz Yisrael, and Chutz La'aretz, unless you're Sephardi, the guys don't say it, but okay, the Sephardim do say it. They say, Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, right, it's Gemara Brachos and Dach Samach Daled and a couple other places, that Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, that Talmidei Chachamim increase peace in the world. Not, peace through strength, although that's popular nowadays, and it does have some merit, but the Talmidei Chachamim are the ones who increase, peace in the world. So if you want to know how to bring peace to the Jewish people, right, encourage your significant other, right, to your fiance, your boyfriend, your husband, your kids, I had to go learn Torah, and you go learn Torah yourself. The Gemara, praises, women who put, sacrificed for Torah, right? In the highest of praise is in the Gemara is found for women who sacrificed, right, their everything, right, for Torah. You guys know the story about Rabbi Kiva's wife Rachel. I'm not going to go through that, right? Again, Ksubas, and a couple of places in Shas, but it talks about how dedicated she was, right? He came back after 12 years, right? She was saying, "Oh, I wish he would study for another 12 years." And he went back to the base matters. Again, she, put on tremendous dedication. Again, Rabbi Kiva said, "Shaliv shalachem, right? What's mine?" He was talking to his Talmidim, and he said, "What's mine and yours is really hers." Right, really belongs to her. Again, that's the schus that the women get. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin, that the women get the schus of Torah study. Right, they don't have the mitzvah of Torah study, but they get the schus for the mitzvah of Torah study when they take their sons, right, to learn and attend the Beis Medrash, and when they wait for their husbands to come back from shul, right, where they had been studying. Bottom line, there needs to be a serious dedication to Torah study. Just to sum it again, to sum it all up. It's not maybe, I don't know, maybe in other seminaries it is. I'm not sure it's emphasized enough in Ber Miriam, but so I'm just emphasizing it to you guys. Now that you guys are past Shunabet, mostly, sorry for those who are still hanging on by a thread, but sorry if that was traumatic, but you guys are old enough to now shift your Torah study from inspiration to information. And you are no longer can, check the box by listening to inspiring podcasts and shiurim. You can obviously do those. They're fine. They're great. Put those on in the car, etc. But you need to know stuff, right? You need to go through different disciplines of Torah study, and know them. And not, again, you don't need to be the next Gedolah Hador, as we explained, right? But you need to know enough, right, to keep a kosher kishon. You need to know enough to know what questions to ask. Right, you need to. That starts now. That doesn't start after you get married. Right, all life only gets busier from now. Right, or life only gets busier. Right, if you start now, again, I'm not talking 6 hours a day. Right, you don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah. Yeah, that's you don't have to make yourself crazy, but you can buy English books and start going through them. What was I going through the other day? Here, this book on kashrus. Is this an easy book? No, it's not an easy book, but. Again, I'm not saying you have to get that one, but there are books that are easier, that make it easier, and it's time to start, really actually buckling down and putting in serious effort to understand. You can start with a Chumash if you want. I would suggest some sort of halacha. Doesn't have to be, the hardest disciplines, but something that is relevant for you guys. Yeah, get to work. Don't be a bum. No lazy bums. All right, that's all I got.
I have a question.
Yes, sure.
I actually have two questions, like they lead to each other.